Good morning, welcome back to Nachyomi. We're going to be focusing on Amos Perek Ches, the 8th chapter of Amos today. It is a short perek of 14 psukim in total. It's really divided up into two main sections. The first section is a vision. We've been seeing in Perek Zion that Amos has been having these particular visions, very specific visions of items that are referring to or are metaphors for certain happenings that are about to happen. So it starts off with a vision of the basket of figs, and then we're going to move into his castigating Tochacha, his rebuke, which is really chilling at the end of this parak. So in the first three psukim, we see that Amos has this vision. This is really the fourth vision that he has of an item. And he sees V'hinei Keluv Kayetz. It is literally, as Rashi understands it, it is a basket of figs. And Hashem says, what do you see? And Amos responds, I see a kluv kayetz, that I see that it's a basket of figs. What does it mean? So Hashem explains, Bo haketz el ami Yisrael, lo asif oid avor loy. That Hashem says, he is going to, the end is coming, and he is no longer going to extend himself. He's no longer going to go over for them. Ve'elilu shiros heichal bayomahu. And they will lament the songs of the temple on those days. Of the many, because of the many carcasses and the many corpses that will be strewn across the surroundings. What is going on here? What is the mashal and nimshal? What is the example and its application? So the first thing we should notice, of course, is the word kayetz, which refers to the figs over here, is also very related linguistically to the word kates, which means end. That seems to be part of the description over here. But it must be more than that. It must be more than simply just the linguistic connection, because, you know, figs and a basket of figs, what's this got to do with anything? So Rashi explains that what's going on is very simple. That there is a basket of figs, and what happens is that when some of the figs get rotten, and it's the end of the day in the marketplace, what happens is that the farmer who is busy selling his figs no longer is going to separate the good figs and the bad figs. What ends up happening is he just sells at a loss. He just sells the basket to the last passerby in the market, and he says, you know, just take the whole thing for, you know, a dollar. Meaning, what is happening over here is that Kodesh Baruch Hu is saying, you know, there might be good, there might be bad, but it's the end of the day, it's just got so late. You people aren't changing. I'm going to sell wholesale the whole basket. Terrifying idea. That Barbadel points out that what you see happening over here is the first step over here, where you see that there is full galus, full exile. Up to now, Amos has been talking about, you know, plagues, there's plagues of locusts, there's going to be pestilence, there's going to be raiding parties, maybe even colonizing parties. But never up to this point, galus, exile. And this is the first time where this very powerful image is being described to the bystanders, and it's obviously following in the direct tracks of his conversation with Amatzia, who had told him in the last parak, go away, you know, you're talking about galus. He never really talked about galus up till now. At this point, he says, you know what? It is coming. It is coming. You wanted it. It's coming. One thing to think about in Pasuk Gimel is it talks about two opposite words. Ve'helilu shirois. Shira means a song of joy. Helilu means a yalala, is a lamentation. They lament songs. How do they lament songs? So the Rashi and Radak explain that their songs will turn into wailings. And the Rabbi Benel deepens it by saying it's not just that their songs will turn into wailing on the day when the kates will come, when the end will come, when they're being sold wholesale down the river. What it also means is that the places where you used to sing, you went to your temples, your shrines, your misguided worship of different gods, well, you'll go there because of that. That's why the songs that you sang there will become the lamentations. In other words, you own it. Let's move on to the next section in the Perek. In this next section over here, which is really now the indictment, he talks to their abusers, and these are all social abusers. He lists a list of grievances. Hashrafim evyon lashpis aniyei eretz. He talks about people who wait for the end. Masai yavor achodesh v'nashpiro shever v'ashavas v'niftecho bar. That the people are waiting for the Shemitah year to end, for the season to end. Why? Because in the Shemitah year, and the times when the people have to exercise leket shechachah and pay in the certain season that it's applicable, then that means to say that they owe it to the poor people of society to give them what they need. So what are people doing? They're waiting for that time to be over so they can extort more money for the food. They don't want the poor people getting all their food off the social system of support. They want to be able to use those poor people to get more money for themselves. They're waiting for the end of it. And what they're going to do, they're going to haktine for lahagdil shekel, aves mozne mirma, they're going to change their scales to make sure that they get the most off cheating the poor people who are suffering against inflation and rising prices. They want that. Liknos bakesef dalim vevyon bavur na'alayim. And they're going to sell, and when people can't pay for it, they'll take the mortgages on their houses, on their fields, and they'll take their shoes from them. This is the society we're dealing with. And Hashem says, I'm not going to take this. Im eshkach lo netzach kol maaseim, will I forget your actions, the terrible injustice you're spreading in society? And he describes how Hashem va also ko'or kulav nigrushav nishkar ki or Mitzrayim. There's going to be there's a rising like a river, or perhaps like light, or disgustingness is going to rise like the river of Egypt and cover the entire land and submerge it. What's this image of the river arising and submerging? Well, says the Mephoshim, explain it's sort of like this image of this wiping out of everybody. Everybody being wiped out by this flood, which is another image of destruction. Maybe it refers to the armies of Sanher, the Assyrian armies, which are going to wipe across the northern kingdom. Barbanel says, no, but you know, technically speaking, the Nile River, which is very specifically referenced over here, the Ya'or Mitzrayim, is in fact has an interesting property that every few years it rises over its banks and it feeds the whole land. And in retreating and receding to its natural banks, it leaves behind all the muck, all the schmutz, all the mud, all the things that it sunk to the bottom, and then it returns to its waters. So Hashem says, you know what's going to happen? The land of Israel, it's going to explode outwards. And it's going to carry with it all the mud, all the dross, all the disgusting things, and leave it outside the land and return to its banks. And what will be left in the river, what will be left in the land of Israel, will be pure. It won't be all the mud that accumulated with it. That's what's going to happen over here. It's going to be the sifting process, ultimately. Finally, the last little section of this parak is from Tes to Yodalad, and this closes the parak. And he predicts two very serious, very terrifying things. Number one is, Vaveshi in Pasuk Tes, Hashemesh Batzoraim. I'm going to make the sunset midday, and your festivals will immediately be turned into avel, into mourning, and your songs once again will be turned to lamentations. That's image number one. What is this image referring to? Rashi explains that it means to say that when you think you have peace, you think you have security, in that in one foul moment, boom, gone. Your sun is at midday; it sets. You have no security. That's what's going to happen. The Chazal says it's even more than that. They say, you know what's happening? It refers to a leader. You're going to have leaders who are so powerful, who have so much hope, and they're going to be taken away from underneath you. Example, Yoshiyahu HaMelech. Yoshiyahu HaMelech brought about a spiritual revolution that was incomparable in all of Jewish history, Tanakh tells us. Yoshiyahu HaMelech destroyed Avodah Zarah, spiritual reform, changed society. But you know what happened? The people weren't listening. They weren't with him. They weren't on the same page as him. And in midday, that sunset, he was killed by Paro Nechor, and that was the downfall of the beginning of the downfall of the southern kingdom. Yes, even the greatest sons in Jewish history, the sons which provide us with so much light and leadership, that perhaps even messianic sons will be set midday and we'll lose them. That's what he's referring to. And finally, the last image, and this is perhaps, I would argue, one of the most chilling descriptions in all of Sefer Amos. And unfortunately, it is misinterpreted in a famous song. The pasuk is in Yud Aleph. Hinei yomim ba'im nu'um Hashem. There are days which are going to come. Vishlachti ra'av ba'aretz. There's going to be a famine in the land. It's not going to be for bread. It's not going to be thirst for water. But divrei Hashem, to hear the words of Hashem. And there's a song, and we all kumzit sing, and we're hearing it. A beautiful song. But you know what the next pasuk is? And you will look for it. You will look for the word of God. You won't find it. You won't find it. Amatzia was telling Amos just a short parak ago, go elsewhere, talk elsewhere about God's word, we aren't interested. So says Amos in response, there's going to come a time, and that time will be where you look for my word and you won't find my word. That's what Amos is responding. What is this referring to? The Radak says very, very simple. It's referring to the end of the Nevuah. There's going to come a time that after Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi at the beginning of the second Beis Hamikdash, we'll get to their books actually very shortly in Nachyami. When we get to the Nevuah, we'll see that Hashem is going to retract Nevuah. Why are we studying Nevi'im and Ksuvim? Because we're looking back to the times where Hashem communicated explicitly with humanity, but we don't have that anymore. That's because you didn't want it. That's what the Radak says. You rejected it, so it's going to go away. You're not going to have it. We're going to have to look back to be able to look forward. The Gemara in Shabbos takes it even one step further. The Gemara in Shabbos Kuf Lamed Ches and Beis, tells us that when the Rabbanim entered Kerem Biavne, they said, "Asida Torah shetishtachich mi Yisrael." Torah is going to be lost from Israel, quoting our psukim. And it gives an example. What does it mean? It's going to be when a woman wants to ask a question about Tumen Tahara, and she'll go from Beistin to Beistin to city, and no one will have the answer. Nobody will have the expertise in Hilchos Tumen and Tahara. That's what's going to happen in the future. And you see over here, it's not just prophecy. It's the wherewithal, it's the understanding of Tumah and Tahara. It's about losing the sense of the halacha which applies at a time of Migdash, because we're living in a diaspora reality. We're living in a Golus Dikah reality. Even then it'll be lost. And it's appropriate that this is at the time when they entered the yeshiva of Kerem Biavne. This is when Yerushalayim was under siege, and Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai ran out and spoke and managed to have a conversation with Vespasian and demanded three things. And one of the demands was the establishment of Kerem Biavne. Yerushalayim fell as the dominion and the centerpiece of Torah. Kerem Biavne became the center of Torah and the place of the Sanhedrin for those years afterwards, after the destruction of the second Beis Hamikdash. Because even in Golos, we're still searching for the word of Hashem. Perhaps not in Nevuah, but in the Torah itself. And over the generations, slowly but surely, we've been losing and receding our grip on the perspective of Torah, the experience of Torah. Not the facts, but the experience of what Tumah and Tahara means, what it really means in society, understanding the Gedarim, the divisions between what's holy, what's unholy, what a Mikdash looks like, what Kodshim look like. That's what's being missing. We're yearning for that day where, God willing, Hashem will answer us and give it back to us. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.